Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're at the 4850 foot level at the Sanford Underground Research Facility, and we are talking neutrinos. And it's a common phrase around South Dakota about neutrinos, but not commonly understood. Is that fair to say?
I hope that changes.
So let's talk a little bit about outreach and how to educate people about why this is an exciting place and exciting science that happens here.
Well, part of that is by being on the radio and talking to people and giving talks and talking on the airplane, on my airplane ride on the way here. I was telling people about this radio show and about the talks tomorrow and talking to friends and family. I'll have some family in the audience tomorrow, some South Dakotans, which will be fun, and educating the next generation. In particular, bringing people to the mine, to mine tours, to the national labs in general, and at universities.
And talk a little bit about collaboration with other scientists. I mean, it seems that Ray Davis was kind of alone here for a little while, and this has really grown, and people share their information more now than ever.
Yes, in high energy physics, in my field, experiments can be very, very large. The experiments that are running at the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland and France are thousands of people on one experiment. That has not been the case in neutrino physics for a long time. The experiment that I was a PhD student on had 50 people. The experiment that I work on now seems very large, and it's 175 people. So experiments in neutrino physics, as the questions change and the experiments grow, the number of people is increasing. The Dune experiment is already almost at 1,000 people from many, many different countries around the world. So that's a little hard for me to wrap my head around, because I'm used to knowing everybody on my experiment and having worked with them, in fact, for many years. And it's a different world. We're moving into the kind of collaboration that others in related fields have experienced. But many, many people from many different countries who are bringing many different pieces of the detector here to work together on the science.
Many different theories?
Many
at
different
at the same time on the same experiment? Is that
probably not so many different theories. Certainly there are lots of theories that as an experimentalist, my job is to try to go out and test. It was interesting listening to your previous speaker, since I am married to a theorist and met him at Fermilab about 20 years ago. But anyway, I was pleased to hear that I'm the grounded, practical one.
Well, that changes during the play.
Is that okay? I haven't seen the play. Now I'm nervous. Okay. In any case, there are some theorists, I believe, on Dune who really contribute to what we need to know to be able to do the measurements. And then there's many theorists in the community that have different ideas about what we may see.
Okay. But different hypotheses, different, or is it all, you know, you're all working for the same common hypothesis?
We're all looking to see if there are differences between neutrinos and antineutrinos in terms of that beam going from Fermilab to South Dakota, and for what neutrinos can tell us about the universe from the neutrinos that come from all over the universe. We're also looking to see if protons decay. There will be a bunch of protons hanging around in these football field-sized detectors underground, and the proton ought to decay, but not very frequently. And there's a number of different theories that predict how often the proton should decay, and we have yet to see a proton decay. So that is another component of the science program of the Dune experiment that lots of people are interested in.
And how does this then relate to the interest in the energy department, and how is what we learn going to impact energy as we know it?
So it's hard to say now what we're learning about neutrinos, how impactful it would be, say, to everyday life or to energy in everyday life or any component of anyone's everyday life, because it's really, really basic research. The best I can do is give you my favorite analogy, which is the discovery of the proton, which occurred at the beginning of the last century. And 50 years later, in about 1950, the invention of the transistor, which was based on proton-neutron flow inside a transistor, And, you know, 50 years after that, that was the basis of the modern computer. So, you know, no one would have cared about 100 years ago that walking down the street that a proton existed. So tiny, I can't touch it. I can't, you know, use it to pay for anything. What's the point? But in fact, it really 100 years later is transformational for people's lives. So who knows what the neutrino will bring us 100 years from now. For the time being, it's teaching us about the universe. It's teaching us, there's lots of interesting spin-off technologies for the incredible facilities and machines we have to build on the Fermilab side and on the South Dakota side to detect them. And who knows what it'll tell us in the future.
You are actively involved in what's called the Girls Science Salon.
Girls Science Investigations. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Originally, yes.
Originally
the girls,
this
yes.
one. Okay.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about what that is and why your passion for young girls in science.
Well, there are still not that many women in physics. And one of the breaks in the pipeline for keeping women in science in general is at the middle school level. Girls do better than boys in math and science before middle school and worse afterwards. And it's not really clear why that happens. So about a decade ago, I started a program first at Fermilab and then when I moved to Yale at Yale called the Girl Science Investigations Program. And it's started as a National Science Foundation program that brings 6th to 8th grade girls for a couple of Saturdays a year, 4 Saturdays a year, to the science labs at Yale to do really hands-on experiments, having a good time doing science. And it's a great age group because the girls are old enough to really do experiments and enjoy them, but not quite old enough to think that we're really uncool. So it's a good age group. It's all age groups are good, I have to say, but this is a particularly good age group. And it's all girls, and it's taught by all women, undergraduates, graduate students, postdocs, faculty at Yale in all sorts of different departments. And we do things like build cloud chambers, we build rockets, we build radios, lots of really hands-on stuff to interest these young girls so that they go on into science.
And then how do you keep them interested?
It's just not that hard. It's so fun to build stuff. Each of these Girl Science Investigations days is organized around a theme. For example, when we build cloud chambers, which is a small particle detector, that's called the invisible world, and we're seeing cosmic ray muons in mason jars that we build and then see the cosmic rays over the course of the Saturday. We also have a program called the extraterrestrial world where we build rockets and we build Galilean telescopes and then we shoot the rockets off before they leave at the end of the day. We also have a chemical world where we mix different chemicals and understand how they change and their different properties. So all sorts of different things. Really fun.
How did you know you wanted to be an experimental physicist?
Well, I really liked science as a kid. I really loved the challenge of science, and I loved figuring things out and monkeying with things. And I had great mentors when I was in particular as an undergraduate in college that had me move on to graduate school. And when I was in graduate school, neutrino oscillation experiments were in their heyday. It was 1998 when an experiment in Japan showed very conclusive evidence that Ray Davis had been right all along. And it hit the front page of the New York Times. So it was really conclusive evidence that neutrinos had this phenomena of neutrino oscillations. And it was very inspirational, and it's what directed me to continue on as a career in neutrino physics.
Okay. And as you talk to these young future scientists, what advice do you give them?
Do what you love. I think one of your
There's
previous speakers
here.
Said that, but it's hard to say anything else. If you do what you love, it's not a job. It's just really fun, and you're passionate about it, and that passion is fun to convey and infectious, and there's nothing better than doing what you love.
Okay. Bonnie, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today and sharing it. And again, you're speaking tomorrow during the Neutrino Day festivities at 11 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much.